Welcome to Expert Extra, a new feature of the Inside 254 podcast, where we sit down with an expert in a field to help us and you make sense of current events. We hope you enjoy it. Today, we're sitting down with Chuck Wendig. He is a New York Times best-selling author of Star Wars Aftermath, as well as the Miriam Black thrillers, the Atlanta Burns books, and the Heartland Young Adult series, alongside other works across comics, games, film, and more. He's a finalist for the John W. Campbell Award for Best New Writer and the co-writer of the Emmy-nominated digital narrative Collapsus. Chuck is also known for his popular blog, TerribleMinds.com, and his books about writing. His new book, Damn Fine Story, Mastering the Tools of a Powerful Narrative, will be out in October. Today, we're talking about resistance and writing.
In ways to stay motivated in this shit-shellacked era of epic stupid, you say writing is an act of resistance. First, what are you working to resist in your writing? Can you talk more about how you use different writing platforms for resisting? So I've noticed that some folks, more so a few months ago than now, comment on Twitter that you shouldn't have used that platform for your politics.
Yeah, I, you know, writing just on a principle, making art, I think, in times of duress is its own kind of act of resistance. Because obviously, I think what we might consider our foes in this fight don't want you to do that. They don't want you to speak or have ideas or convey ideas through writing. And that's one of the other things that I think you get out of storytelling and out of fiction is the ability to bake into there ideas about where we should be or what some of the problems are currently in, you know, all around us, without necessarily making it ranty or specifically political. But also at the same time, it's not apolitical. So the fiction stuff is a little more subversive. You can pack these themes and ideas and sort of like almost like hide them behind the walls of the story. You know, Twitter and social media and all that stuff and the blog, which is kind of my central hub for social media, allows me to be more ranty political, more directly down the barrel, so to speak. Not that I'm threatening anybody. No one, please. we'll get SWAT kicking in the door here in a second. You know, it allows you to be more direct with that sort of thing and make actual calls for action and say, be up to date about that. Like, hey, call your senator today because of this, or have you seen this horrible new thing that's on fire? There's so many things on fire. So using that as your platform is key. And I think anybody who wants to silence that is really obviously working on the side of not only opposition, but just sort of general oppression, because, you know, no one should be silencing voices in this crazy, crazy era.
So all those people that were like, oh, this is your Twitter feed and you should have a separate Twitter feed. I remember kind of right after the election, maybe you've already blocked this out or you hear it so much you don't care. But I just really noticed that like people wanted you to divide like your writing self on Twitter from your own self on Twitter. Like, and you were very quick to just shoot that down.
I do have a response to those people and it's a tremendous middle finger. First of all, dividing it. Honestly, I'm a tremendously lazy person, so I don't want to have to divide it and create this marketing channel and then create a me channel. And the, you know, if you want the fiction stuff, just go buy the books. You don't have to listen to me on Twitter. There's no one. Whenever anybody yells about my blog or about Twitter, I just say I'm happy to refund your money, which of course you paid nothing. So please enjoy these zero pennies that I fling at your head. You know, and the other thing is my books are that way. My books are me. So if you're not really liking my Twitter feed, there's a fairly strong chance you're not going to enjoy my fiction. In fact, you're probably not going to enjoy most fiction because most writers tend to be this way. This is not unusual. This is not a weird thing that writers tend to be shouty and mouthy about politics and ideas because it's kind of our bread and butter. So anybody who wants to separate that out, I think, is just nonsense.
Yeah, my Twitter feed, when I go on, the top people that come up are you, Stephen King, Joyce Carol Oates, Margaret Atwood. Like, those are kind of the people who have been most active in my day. So that's totally true, right? Like, we have things to say, but you're always at the top. Usually there's like flames or something, and I'm like, oh, what's burning down today? So great. I love this shit shellacked era of epic stupid post. And in it, you mentioned to artists that they should, quote, put that piss and vinegar into the work, pour it right in, glug, glug, splish, splash. So how do you see your advice manifesting in your own writing? And is this advice more about process, about product? Is it both? If you could, because that line got like one sentence. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
It's kind of all of the above. Like, this is an emotional time. I find there's a lot of things to be mad about and a lot of ways to have that anger be undirected. So I think taking that anger in a directed way, and just as in your day-to-day sort of, I'm going to use this to momentum and I'm going to angrily call my senators and let them know what I think about this. I think at the same time, you could say, I'm mad about this. I saw something today or I'm thinking something today. And there's a way both to simply harness the energy and use it to just write. But then there's also the way to channel it constructively and to put it into ideas. And not to make the work preachy or mouthpiecey or platformy in any way, because you don't want to do that. And sometimes young adult will occasionally veer into sort of slightly preachier territory, and teens feel that immediately. They kind of bristle at it and I think back away. You just kind of, like I said, you kind of hide it behind the walls, but you know, it gives you motivation to do it. It gives you a reason to keep writing. It's saying it's not just a story about mechanical plot and characters move from point A to point B and say this and say that. They believe things and they do things and they can represent different ideas and they can clash on the page. And not only do you then get to help ideally convey some of those ideas and transmit them, but you also have the advantage of helping yourself think through them. On the page, there's this great advantage of you let characters sort of do this stuff for you, and it's almost like their individual brain cells working together to help you figure out both what you think and what the book is about in the first place.
Like what you're hearing? Hey Podbean listeners, see that green Become a Patron button at the top right of your screen? You can click on that, donate $1 a month, and get a cool sticker, a Facebook shout out, and our undying gratitude. iTunes listeners, we didn't forget about you. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see a blue Shop Now button. Click that button and it'll get you to that same site. Thanks for keeping us sustainable. So you have a new book coming out called Damn Fine Story, and I think this idea of thinking about craft and what the role of writers is right now, but I want to also think about community. So how does being a part of the writing community sustain you, if it does, and what should writers be doing for each other as our work takes on what feels like a new urgency? And you just talked about this too. There just seemed like this kind of different urgency or shift in urgency. So what do we do for each other? And how does being part of a writing community sustain you as a writer?
It's funny because initially it didn't sustain me. And then when I created this blog, Terrible Minds, my initial idea was, well, I'm going to create this space online for other writers. And this was literally, I think, back in like the early 2000s or something, because the blog's 15 years old. So it was just an HTML installation at that point. There was no forums, there was no comments, no metrics, no nothing. And I realized that creating a community for writers was going to be super difficult, so I just didn't do that. And I created a place for me to scream into the void about random things, writing things that were troubling me or concerning me. So it was ultimately a blog sort of about me, for me, and I didn't know anyone was listening. So eventually when I got metrics on it, I realized people were listening, which was a terrifying and wonderful revelation. At that point, that's when I started to see those bonds of community, that they were kind of there all along. I just didn't necessarily know. You know, so over time, just meeting writers and having people to commiserate with, and also learning about the industry. The industry, like publishing, is this massive, scary eye of Sauron. Like you can't stare too long at it or it just burns your soul out. So having other people help you through that, and hey, like, I mean, you know, we don't talk about advances and royalties and stuff except with each other behind the scenes, because you need to know that. You need to know, what do I tell my agent to ask for? Or my agent needs to tell me what they're going to ask for. Or, hey, what does your agent do in this situation? Is my agent screwing me over? Or is my agent awesome? Without any context, without any perspective, you feel like you're lost in the ocean. There's this huge value of just simply understanding business, because writers, we're not very good businessmen, but we have to be good at this. We're all independent business people starting our own little enclaves of entrepreneurship, even though we don't like to think of it that way. Sometimes we have to treat it that way. Having that is useful, but then also in this the shit shellacked era of stupid, it's super good to just have people to rant about this stuff. And even behind the scenes, it gets even, you know, more frostier and venomous than it does maybe on social media. And just because some of the stuff really affects us, stuff like healthcare. Huge. Like the ACA came out and that literally saved my life. We were hitting a point where I was like, I know I can keep doing this, but we're going to pay a lot for this other insurance. We were looking at independent insurance plans and they were through the roof. And I was like, well, let's see what this ACA thing, how that works. Literally landed at the right time, applied, and I was getting a lot more coverage for a lot less money. It gave me the ability to do what I'm doing as a quote-unquote small business owner. So having all that and having a writer community to talk about this stuff and commiserate, so both in terms of just emotional output and the practical aspects of living the life that a writer lives.
I'm really glad you brought up those material things that writers need to think about. I think that the idea of the writer is really romanticized.
Yeah.
And it's not. Like it's just not. It's showing up at your desk, but you also have to pay your bills and you have to do all these things. And I, when the ACA came about, I remember thinking, this is such a gift for people who want to be creative. They can have that. You, maybe now you don't have to worry, but well, now you do have to worry again. Yeah. But right, I mean, it was such a big deal watching my friends who maybe started portfolio careers or wanted to write more, but and didn't feel like they needed to be tethered anymore to something about insurance. So I'm glad you brought that up. On the podcast, we did an entire episode on the importance of self-care in this time of hypervigilance. In your blog post, you also ask readers to take care of themselves. So what do you do to practice that advice? Because I give that advice a lot, but I'm not always great at following it.
Yeah, I wish I were better at it. Time of intense anxiety, sometimes it's easy to get kind of lost in your own head. So you do have to find ways out of your head. You know, for me, it sounds silly, but writing is a little bit of self-care. As I said, sort of purging a lot of that stuff and finding a way to dump the infection into the work and not just keep it in is meaningful. But then finding other outlets for the art, like stuff that has no political bent at all, sometimes is useful. I'm a total amateur photographer, but I have a camera and I will take it.
I like the
Thank you. Yeah. I'll do that. That's a thing that I'll do. I'll just wander and take photos, and I'll get one out of every 20 that I'll keep, and the rest are garbage, but I don't care. It's a very meditative process. It is not money driven. It's not any sort of goal. I just do it. Again, talking to other writers has value with self-care. Giving yourself the time it takes to enjoy something small, especially when you're finishing. And this is good self-care just in general, not just in this particular era, but as a writer, you're writing a book and you're editing a book or whatever it is you're doing at the time. There's this sense of being lost in a dark forest and you have no sense of way through. How do I get through this thing? So giving yourself little torchlights to sort of get yourself through, whether it's if I finish this today, I'm going to do this for myself. I'm going to get a cupcake or whatever the hell it is I want to do. Cupcake therapy is real. It's legit. So doing that, you know, anything you can do to yourself to be nice to yourself and forgive yourself for those things that go wrong as a writer, because it's not all romantic. It's about 5% romantic. There's like some real, genuine, wonderful romance stuff, the beautiful things that come out of being a writer. And there's a lot of just grit and dust and ditch digging. And, you know, you got to forgive yourself for every day that doesn't feel like it goes well, because often it's probably better than you thought it was.
So in October, you have a book on craft called Damn Fine Story coming out. And I love books on craft. Sometimes I'm like, maybe I just like reading books on craft instead of writing. But can you tell us a little bit about that? What to expect when that hits the shelves?
I make a very strong point right in the beginning of that book to differentiate it from a book of writing advice. Because writing advice to me is very specifically about the mechanics and craft of writing. Whereas storytelling is a slipperier beast. There's a craft to it, but there's also an art to it. I mean, writing has literal mechanics. There are things you can do to make a cogent sentence. You don't always have to obey those rules, but there are rules, just like there are in math, that are sort of bedrock to how you construct language. But stories are not really that bedrock. There's a lot of different ideas for how stories are told, and there's a lot of different formulas for how stories are told. Most of them are at least half garbage, but that doesn't mean they're all garbage, and that doesn't mean there's not things you can rescue from those that give you a sense of pattern and shape. So the goal of the book is to give you a sense of intuition for telling a story, for making it character driven, not plot driven, for letting it be organic. Not to say you can't outline it, plan ahead, or do those things that are more mechanical, but just in how you construct that, it's letting characters be architects, not architecture. So it's all about sort of the rhythm of storytelling and how do you create tension and how you create conflict and how you create drama between characters. What are those moments and why do they matter to us? And so then speckled in throughout are sort of personal stories, just sort of like not of the Stephen King, here's my journey from on writing, but I mean just random. Yeah, I love that. That book is like my, that's a small Bible for me. Yeah. It is it. Yeah. Not it, it, but it. So, but it has like little things in there that are things that are emblems of what I'm talking about, and there are things about like what I grew up, or just like a story that happened when I was in Hawaii, about how that the story that I will tell in the book, which is about a dog at a beach who seems to have lost her surfer. It's all about the construction and how the arrangement of those elements and the timing and the arrangement of the quote-unquote plot pieces matter to how the impact is the story is felt. So it's just all about that. It's all about sort of the weave and weft of storytelling, and less about writing and less about word choice and less about all that stuff and more about the larger, crazier stuff.
Thank you. I cannot wait to read it. All right. So thanks again, Chuck, and I hope you have a great summer.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for listening to this Expert Extra. For more information on our podcast and to find episodes, please visit Inside254Site, that's S-I-T-E, .wordpress.com. You can find us on Podbean and iTunes, and please follow us on Facebook and Twitter for all the latest. Thanks for listening!